This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Ephesians 5:15 through 21 in a message entitled, "The Believer is to Walk Carefully."
Paul the Apostle says to us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, with wisdom, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Today, we're just going to look at these verses that we see here. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 short verses we're going to look at. Next week, we're going to have a special service, a service that we're going to take some time and just review where we have come from as a group of people, as a fellowship. I'm going to have pictures of certain things you've never possibly ever seen before. And we're just going to go through and see what God has done in the past, what he is doing, and what the future could hold for you and I. And we'll do that, and we'll have a special time of doing that, and I pray that it would be a great blessing to each and every one of us. And then after that, we will come back to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, where it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." And then we will come back to verse 22 again, where it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Guys are going, "Yeah, Bill, yeah, yeah, yeah." But then we will go to verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of church, and he is the body. Therefore, just as Christ is subject to as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband." You love all that. Men go, "Yeah, I love that. Preach it, Bill." But then verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Powerful teaching that establishes the greatest relationship mankind has ever had, the marriage relationship. Some are called to be married. Some are called to be single. God does what he does in the midst of their lives. And so we're thankful. But we'll come back and look at that and spend maybe a couple weeks and just looking at that and spend a little bit of time here. But today, you can see on the screen, the believer is to walk carefully. The believer, we have learned, is to walk in unity. The believer is to walk using our gifts for the glory of God. We as a believer are to walk, live our lives differently than the Gentiles. The believer is to walk putting off the garment of the old man, putting on the garment of the new man. And the believer is to walk imitating God in love. And last week we looked at the believer is to walk as a child of light. And so these six subjects we've looked at, and today's subject is simply an encouragement that we as believers are to walk carefully. And then he gives us five different steps. Number one, looking around and watching every step. That's the first thing that we are going to look at. We are to redeem the time. We are to understand the will of the Lord. We are to reject drunkenness. And we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to simply look at those five things, and then we'll close with prayer and go out and enjoy the rain, okay? Enjoy the rain. Why does it rain on Sundays? Last week was interesting. Thank you for those that stayed around, got soaked. I was talking to people. By the time I got out there, I got the barbecue or the whatever that was, the Sloppy Joe, and then I went over to the chips, reached into the chips, and they were soggy. And I thought, oh, well, anyway, they'll work. They're soggy when they're in my mouth. Think of that. That's great, a picture. Wonderful picture like that, you know. But thank you for staying around and plowing through. We were just totally amazed at you guys. We really were. But today, just a simple message, the believer is to walk carefully. I found this statement I'd like to share with you. How the believer walks day by day throughout life is crucial to the cause of Christ and to the welfare of society. Let me say it again. I couldn't find who stated this, so I just want you to know it's not me, but I'm repeating. How the believer walks day by day throughout life, that's you and I, how we walk throughout life is crucial to the cause of Christ and to the welfare of society. To the welfare of society. No small thing. We think we live in our little bubble. No. The world's watching. They're sensing something's different in our lives at times. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. This statement goes on. It says, he, she either contributes to the building up of society or the tearing down of society. He, she either carries the message of life to the world or carries the message of silence and death. We affect society, you and I. We don't have the position of a president of the United States that says a little thing and dictates a certain thing. I shouldn't use that word, should I? No, anyway, goes a certain direction. Anyway, and then, you know, and that can change things for millions of people. But yet our lives, what we do and what we do not do, can change society. Did Billy Graham change society? Yeah, we can see that. But you, just as much as he, will change society according to how you walk carefully, or if you don't walk carefully. It's a wonderful thing. So let's look at verse 15 again. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as people with wisdom. Life is a journey, a path that we follow every day. When we arise in the morning, we begin to walk about. Don't you guys? Don't you, when you wake up in the morning, don't you jump out of bed and you're just ready to go? How many are like that? The minority. I can't believe that. Okay, how many don't get out of bed very quickly and start their walks? You guys are just sinners. The other people won't admit anyway. Maybe they're in between or something like that. I'm just up in the morning. I'm ready to go. Just ask by. She'll let you know. And she's just, oh, get out of my life. She's never said that to me, but that's what she thinks. When we arise in the morning, we begin to walk about. That's the reality of our lives. God expects us to walk, though, circumspectly, carefully. When we get out, we put our foot down there and everything. Our journey for that day begins. And his purpose for us is to walk very carefully. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means. But your carefulness is different than my carefulness. There's similarities that we all have, but it's an important journey. We get up, we get out, and we start. Okay, brush my teeth first. Okay, that's a good start of your journey. It really is. Breakfast, that's step two and all that. Or maybe I got that backwards, okay. But, you know, we start a journey. Today, you started the journey. How many did not get up? You all got up. Put your hand down because you're not telling the truth. We got up. We started a journey, did we not? You guys excited about that? Oh, come on. Are you excited about the journey? Today, we got a journey. There's no other day like today. Moses didn't. Abraham didn't live. No, all these guys that we look to, Hebrews chapter 11, all these people did not live this day. We have this day. So we get out of bed, put our feet down, and we start our journey. But how are we supposed to walk in this journey? Carefully. Carefully. Because there's mines planted. There's traps that exist. And we must be very careful. Life is a walk. It's a journey, a path that we follow every day. When we arise in the morning, we begin to walk about. God expects us to walk circumspectly, that is, carefully and accurately. There are two kinds of persons who walk throughout life. There's only two. The first one is there is the fool or unwise person. This is a person we do not want to be. Amen? The unwise person is not concerned about watching every step and being alert to every temptation and pitfall in life. He or she could care less about struggling and being exact and disciplined in life. They don't care. They just want to live their life. They want to go this way. They choose the ways of the world, and that's the way that they go. They do not care. I used to be that person. No longer. Thank the Lord for that. In Psalm 14:11, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Does good. That is the unwise person. But let's now go to the person that is wise. This is the person we all want to be. Amen? Okay. The wise person is not only concerned about every step of life, but he, she struggles to watch every step, to make sure that he walks throughout life disciplined and controlled. He knows that the only answer to the evil and problems of life is Jesus Christ and his righteousness. So we're going to follow after Jesus Christ. Okay, I get out of bed. My path is beginning. Lord, I want to follow your steps today. How do I know what your steps are? Well, open the Bible. Oh, you mean I can find your steps in black and white? You bet. By the way, you can also find my steps in red and white. We can find his steps. And so we choose to walk in that way, carefully, accurately, exactly. We keep following his way. It's not a life of bondage. It's a life of protection. It's a life that sets us free. People get all caught up, and I've seen it so much through the years and all that. No, I'm restricted. I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, what is it you want to do? Well, this is what I want to do. Do you realize that that's going to lead to destruction? Well, yeah, but I don't care. That's not a right attitude, is it? It's just not at all. We want to be wise people. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." That's what we get to do every day. Get out of bed. Well, whatever it is, Lord, I can't wait. I just want to be part of whatever you're doing. I'm not sure, you know, but I'm just going to do my best to be right there. You know, Lord, I'm not going to complicate it. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm just going to love you. As I love you today, then I just trust by your spirit, you'll put what you want into my mind and my heart. Circumstances will be set up. And so we there in verse 15 again, "See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as the wise." May that be an encouragement today, how we are to walk. Then notice he says, okay, if you want to walk as a Christian, you are to redeem the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. You mean there's evil out there, Lord, for a Christian? You bet. I think in some ways more than for the non-Christian. A believer is to redeem time, to use his or her time for things of value and for things that are not for things that are evil. This means two things. First, a person is to use their time wisely. He or she is not to waste time. The choice is ours. We can sit and twiddle away hours and engage in activities and conversations that are little value of worth, or we can use time wisely, keeping our thoughts and hands busy. It's our choice. But he says here, redeem the time. It's a challenge. He gives us an option. It says in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach me," the psalmist said, "to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach me that, Lord. How am I to walk? And then a person, the second person that we are to look at, is that person is to use their time by taking advantage of the opportunities that arise throughout the day. We're going to have opportunities today. We already had opportunities. We may have an opportunity to witness. If we don't take that opportunity, it may pass. Today, we are going to have opportunities to show diligence. If we're not diligent, opportunity could pass. Today, we're going to have opportunity to speak up in situations where we need to speak up. If we don't speak up, that opportunity can pass, very simply. Today, we are to take opportunities to love another person. If we don't take that opportunity can pass. You guys with me so far? You know, these opportunities can pass to serve people. It will pass if we don't take it. To work hard, to pray, to give as the Lord wants us to give. Opportunities will come our way. It's a wonderful thing. God-given opportunities. Is that not exciting? Well, that was okay. It's exciting. You mean, Lord, you're going to give me an opportunity? I remember when I was first saved, you know, Lord, I can pass out a bulletin. Good morning. Thanks for coming to Horizon. So nice having you here. You mean I can do that, Lord? Yeah, you can do that. Opportunities. You mean I can go to a nursing home? Really, Lord? I can go to a nursing home, go in there and just gather all these saints up and everything, and then, you know, you mean I can, you know, Pete, you want me to share the message? You're not going to be here next week and you want me to share the message? No way! Get somebody else. Yes way! You do it and all that. And then, you know, and then you get there and they all sleep. They fall asleep, you know, because they're older. Anyway. But opportunities. Opportunities are great. There, look at verse 16, redeeming the time. Because there's evil in the midst of time. And days, we have to be careful. In 1 Corinthians, it's a challenging verse, verse 7, 29 through 38. Listen to what Paul says. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Whoa, yes. Be careful. Some will go, that sounds like a good idea. No, what he's saying is put the proper priority. Have God to be the head over the family relationship. He's not saying, men, that you don't take care of the wives. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. Those who use this world and not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. That's why we are to do all these things and be on the cutting edge in all of these things. Take care of our marriage. Value our marriage. Love our wives. And we're going to see that. Share with them. And do these other things too. Look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, how we are to live our lives. The unwise person is a man or woman who does not understand the will of the Lord and does not fulfill it. The wise person is a man or woman who understands the will of the Lord and does fulfill it. That word for understand is very interesting. It means to grasp. Means to perceive, to see with the mind, but to comprehend. It says that opportunity that we have, we are to be wise. How can a person know what the will of the Lord is? Well, first of all, what is this called? Is the will of the Lord in here? Yep. Are you guys studying it? Yep. Are you meditating over it? A little fewer yips. Are you memorizing it? Yep. Gives us wisdom, right? We talked about that. Why would we not read this wonderful book, this book of love? Because it guides us in that path. It really does. How can a person know what the will of the Lord is? By knowing the word of God. By knowing it so well that it can apply, we can apply it in the situations that confront us each and every day. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is that you? Is that me? It's a challenge. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Is that us? Because that's a way to be wise. Secondly, I believe, how can we be wise? Is follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He's going to take us to the right path. He will never trick us. He'll never take us down another path. He's always got our concern there for, he's concerned for you and I. Jesus said in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you, what's the next word? All things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will do that. We want to know the will of God? Get in the Word. We want to know the will of God? We pray. We want to know, follow the Holy Spirit. We want to know the will of God? We pray. God will reveal His will as we pray. We listen and wait. God will reveal His will as we follow the peace that rules our heart. That's not an emotion. That is the Spirit working in our hearts. We will know the will of God as we seek out and listen to wise counsel. As we observe the circumstances that are in our life. Divine revelations. God can speak to us through prophecy in many ways. The timing of things. It all works out. And I go, wow. Yeah, I can see that, Lord. I can just see that. That's a wonderful thing. And waiting on the Lord in faith, we can do that. And so as he says right there in verse 17, Therefore, be not unwise. Understand with the will of the Lord. And then verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not to be drunk. Let's look at that first. Literally, it means don't be drunk. You know, we don't have to go any further than that. It says stay away from alcohol. It doesn't say that we can't have an occasional drink unless the Lord tells you something else, or unless you stepped into leadership. I believe there's a difference at that point. Not saying that we can't, but be careful. You can cross over a line very quickly, and to some person, this, you know, one could be drunkenness. Another one could be two, could be drunkenness. I find it's better just to stay away. I really do. It doesn't add up in my life. Anyway, I'm just speaking for myself. Drunkenness excludes a person that goes across that line and they become drunk. It can exclude a person from the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a strong statement. I want to stay away. I just do. I want to stay away. Second, drunkenness leads to other forms of misbehavior and sin. Jesus said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. If a person is drunk, it can lead to things that are not edifying, not helpful for that person. So Jesus said, stay away. Drunkenness makes it impossible to grasp the fleeting opportunities of time because you're not there. You're not clear of thinking and all that. You're under the influence of something else. So he simply says, don't be drunk, but I love the next part, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that sound like fun? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This command is in the present tense, which means that a believer is to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. The believer is to keep on being filled, literally, is what he's saying. The Holy Spirit is to infill the believer continuously. Bring it on, Lord. When we get up and get out of bed and we put their feet down and we start, I try to remember, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. If you want to guide me this way, I want to go that way. If you want to warn me against this, I want to be warned against this. I want, Lord, I have the Spirit inside of me, but I want less of me and more of you. So fill me with your Spirit and do me with power from which is on high. What is a Spirit-filled, controlled person to be like? He ends the chapter by telling us what a Spirit-filled person looks like. You want to know what it is? Yes. You want to know what it is? Yes. Yeah, encourage me, okay? Encourage me, okay? I hate it when you're sleeping out there. Notice what he says. First, a Spirit-filled person has a singing spirit. In other words, their speech has changed. A singing spirit. That's why we have singing, that we can just sing to the Lord. Isn't it great when we sing? It's great. It's wonderful just to get out of ourselves and to sing unto the Lord. Not only are they a person, the Spirit-filled person, who can worship God through song, but they are a person whose overall speech has changed so that his or her words bring glory to God. We talked about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 a few weeks back. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's what a Spirit-filled person, they change, their speech changes. No longer coarse jesting and joking and that. No longer cussing or any of that. No longer do they let their mouth be used for the tearing down of a person, but for the building up of a person. That's a sign of a Spirit-filled person. Second, we see it there in verse 20, a Spirit-filled person has a thankful spirit. In other words, their attitude is changed, not just their spirit, but their attitude. Look at verse 20, giving thanks always, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note the words always and for all things. That's hard, isn't it? We go through some really challenging times. Truly challenging times. Our lives are in God's hands. He guides and directs us through all things as we trust him. Therefore, we can thank him for all things, no matter what the things are. Some things are just, Lord, why? Why is this happening in my life? I'm there. I all of that. But yet we must trust him and we must give him thanks. Giving thanks as we walk along throughout the day, always giving thanks, helps to experience, for us to experience the fullness of God's Spirit. It's just amazing how all these things work, how they're all tied together. We're not perfect people. We're challenged people. And I sometimes go to the Lord, oh, sorry, Lord, I'm so sorry. Where's my faith? Where's my faith? But I must come back and ask, fill me with your Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're to have a thankful heart. And third, a Spirit-filled person has a submissive and respectful spirit. In other words, their relationships have changed. Look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the awesome respect of God. That's what we are to do. That's what we are to be, that Spirit-filled person who does not have a spirit of criticism, a spirit of dissension, envy, divisiveness or selfishness. He or she has a spirit of submissiveness to God because we're in awesome respect. The same, though, is true of churches. Yes, this is true, what we're talking about for individuals, but it's true for churches. A Spirit-filled church has a body of people who are submissive, going out of the way to minister and serve each other. Are we that type of church? Within a Spirit-filled church, there is no dissension or division, divisiveness, no envy or selfishness among its people. Are we that type of church? In the fear of God, that this type of church submits to each other. The people within it submit to each other before they limit the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Are we individuals like that? Are we a church like that? In closing, just a few questions. Today, are you, am I? Are we a church walking as a believer carefully and strictly? I pray that we are. If we're not, we should ask God's help in that. Today, are you, are we, as a church, looking around and watching every step that it would bring glory to God? Today, are you, are we, as a church, redeeming the time because the days are evil? Today, are you, are we, am I, as are we as a church, understanding the will of the Lord? Are we seeking that out? And today, are you, am I, are we as a church, rejecting drunkenness, anything that would take us away from that place of safety in the Lord? Today, are you, am I, are we as a church filled with the Holy Spirit? I pray that if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you would just search it out in Scripture and look in at the book of Acts. It says over and over and over where people came. One time they came up and people were saved. They were saved. And they came up and Peter and John come up and they asked a question. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? They didn't know what that meant, but they had been received the Holy Spirit in their lives. It came inside of them. They were born again, but they were saying there's another relationship, a beautiful relationship where we can cry out and say, Lord, less of me, more of you. It's a beautiful thing. Why should we do all of these? So that we would have his power to be victorious over all the challenges that we find in living our lives for his glory. Amen?
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word. Journey through the Word. Yeah.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.